the show.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you as we head towards the slippery slope of Valentine's Day, which we love to talk about every year here at The Boundless Show. Whether or not you are dating anyone, we're just desperate to keep the excitement alive, I guess, around this. But before we go into that, you should know that this week's show is sponsored by the Connection Plus Toolbar and Shopping Network. You can find out more about them and download the toolbar, which I hope you've done already. But if you haven't, get it at boundless.cvn.org. Later on in the show, we will have John Thomas on the phone to help us navigate a listener's question of, can you have fun in the process of dating? Is that okay? Or do you just need to be all intentional all the time? And then for our culture segment, we have Michael O'Brien, the CCM artist who used to be the lead singer of New Song and now is on his own. And his songs, well, in one of his songs at least, has been recorded by Clay Aiken and has been used in all kinds of craziness. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. He's a very fun guy. But here we are. With our roundtable, we have Nathan Pyle in the room. Nathan, welcome.
Hi there. It's good to be here.
Very good to have you. How is the engagement going?
Going really well. Good. We're in the wedding planning stages.
Okay.
So,
is that stressful?
The stress that comes with that is not as high as I've been told, but maybe that's just me and it'll ramp up as we get closer.
It will ramp up.
As things get crazy. Well, at first when couples plan it, they're like, no, we're going to keep it low key and we're just going to do it. And then all of a sudden as things start happening, they're like, no, I want to do this instead of this. And then,
yeah. Well, the problem is it starts with just you two talking about it and it quickly blossoms into family discussing it and what family would like to see too. Not that that's a bad thing. I think they should all be included in your day in some way, but it kind of becomes stressful because they all have something to say about what they would want to see, but it is ultimately up to us. So,
well, I say we just mix it up and throw it out to the whole Boundless audience. Let's involve all of us now. What do you guys want to see in Nathan Pyle's wedding? What elements should they have? What shouldn't they have? Just comment on this blog post and let us know.
Centerpiece
and
ideas
and
from the ladies.
We'll start. Exactly. Yeah. What color should the dresses be? What all is going to happen? That'll be good. All right. Travis Williams, who is married, is in the house. Hey, Travis.
Hello, everybody.
So good news for him. He's now excited that he doesn't have to plan a wedding.
Yes, that was a hard but beautiful time in our life. Uh-huh. Yeah, because it is true. Everybody wants to chime in. Mm-hmm. And then you say, we're going to keep this small, but then how do you cut, Aunt Melva out of the picture?
You don't.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You don't.
No, exactly. That's what you don't. You don't, and then all of a sudden it grows and grows.
Well, you have a few years of freedom until you have to plan your daughter Taylor's wedding, and then you can start stressing about that.
Yeah. So. It's all with the best of intentions. When family comes along, they want it to be beautiful. They want it to be special.
It's
so you got to keep that in mind.
That's good. All right, Martha, here at the table. How's it going?
I'm doing well.
Doing well. Good to have you here.
Thank you. So,
very excited about having Martha weigh in on the conversation as well, because she is the one who basically threw out this question of how, Martha produces the show. So she's really, if it's a lame topic, we get to blame her. And if it's good, then sometimes I take credit for it. It just depends. But how did this come about, Martha? Because you basically stalked these guys and asked them what
we
should talk about. Yeah,
well, Valentine's Day was a tough thing of what angle have we not talked about yet, or how can we make this new? So I sent an email to a couple guys that have been on the show before, including Nathan and Travis, of just, what should we talk about? What would guys be interested in when it comes to Valentine's Day? And I was a little surprised by their response of kind of being negative about Valentine's Day.
Because they're big downers. That's why.
No,
total
we weren't
downers.
We were
whatever.
Tempered optimism.
Well, and here's a guy who's engaged and a guy who's married. I mean, what better reason do you need to celebrate Valentine's Day?
That's a good point.
No, because here's the thing. It is cool to not like Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. This is what I've determined. That it's like if you say, oh my goodness, I love it, which I usually say, even though, hello, I'm not dating anyone, so I'm like a total freak. I love it. And then everyone else, there's just like, oh, I hate it. It's so lame. It's just like a marketing ploy. It's just whatever. And you just get all this negativity from people. It bums me out.
I love Valentine's Day.
Oh, brother.
Let me just say this. I just don't like spending money on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
There we go. I said it.
So does that mean that just you get super creative?
I can't say that either. So this is going to be a awkward show.
Well,
all
so
the way around.
You obviously don't spend money here, because I see that $448 million are spent on candy alone the week before February 14th.
Yeah.
This is what people, and 58 million pounds of chocolate are bought during Valentine's Day week. So someone is spending money if it's not you, Travis.
It's true. I was looking at statistics and stuff as well, and $15 billion will be spent on Valentine's Day. $15 billion.
Well, that's because you throw in hotel rooms and cars and all the what the rich people buy.
Yeah. Well, and
that ups it a little bit.
Nathan and I, we should actually, if we're average, be spending about $70 on our spouses or significant other.
Okay.
So that's what the statistics are telling us.
$70.
$70.
That's the average?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so what are
I'm way below that, by the way,
what are the expectations? Now. Have you guys gotten any expectations from your significant others?
I wouldn't say expectations as much as implied thoughts that it is important to do something, to recognize it in some way. In fact, I would just had a conversation with my fiance the other night, and she's like, well, it is an important day, and which I would agree with. I don't think it's a Hallmark holiday or anything like that. I don't like to be rated there. I just don't want to be seen as the guy who only comes along one time a year. I don't want to be kind of boxed into that, because I do a lot of things that I think are very special that have no particular date attached to them. Mm-hmm. But I've always gone by the rule of, if it's important to her, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. So if that's important to her, then I'm going to make it important to me as well and do it with a smile.
This is so bad. I got up this morning and I told my wife that we're going to do this show, and she looks at me and goes, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that you do Valentine's Day every day.
Do you?
I'd like to believe that, you know, so yes, I'll take Nathan Pyle's answer and be like, yes, every day is Valentine's Day. And so this day is no different from any other, that every day I spend $70 on my sweetheart, making sure that she knows how special she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think some mornings I wake up and I'll say, I'm not pursuing her. I haven't pursued her. I can't think of the last time that I did something to pursue her with. And that could be something really small, too. And it totally is a fleeting thought that I'm like, oh, no, I'm not pursuing her. I have to do something. And then life sets in and I don't. So in the sense that Valentine's Day is kind of a reminder, like, hey, you should do this. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. But
yeah. Well, and I think there's a lot of pressure, especially when you hear like the stats of like married guys who most married guys. I mean, let's be honest. These are the ones I've heard from and the stuff that I've read, that a lot of them aren't even buying their own greeting cards for their mothers anymore. I mean, their wives buy that. Their wives buy gifts. So I think guys can be totally stressed out by like going to a store, figuring out or going online, feeling like they have to order something, mm-hmm. feeling like they have to find a restaurant. I've had guys at work before ask me for ideas for like restaurants because they know I go out a lot and do stuff.
Well, there's standard fare that seems like you have to kind of do to make it a real Valentine Day gift. You know, like it's got to, because of maybe the marketing, you've got to have the card. Maybe you've got to go out to dinner. And so, yeah, I think a lot of guys can trip up and be a little scared and nervous. I'm actually nervous now. I wasn't nervous before. It was cool when Martha said, hey, what do you think about Valentine's Day? And I popped off saying, you know, married guys don't think about Valentine's Day.
Well, your first mistake was in telling your wife that you were doing this show, because now she will have expectations.
That's true. Yeah, sweetheart.
We're talking about this.
I've got a lot of work to do in a week.
I was talking to my brother about this. He got married this past June, and he said there's just so many holidays. There's her birthday, and then Christmas, and then your six-month anniversary, your eight-month anniversary. Amen. And Valentine's Day. And I kind of had some sympathy for him of, mm-hmm. that is a lot of creative planning, mm-hmm. and shopping that you have to do.
We just had our anniversary.
Where's our day?
Mm-hmm. Our anniversary was just 3 weeks ago, and we went out to the nice expensive restaurant and stuff. And so to top that, I can't. And so, yeah, I think I was joking with Martha beforehand that I think that a trip to Costco is in our future. That's
what married people do.
Romantic.
What is your wife's love language? Like, what do you think she would appreciate?
She likes service. So for my wife, probably the best thing that I could do is clean the entire house. And that would mean so much to her as a Valentine, mm-hmm. Day gift. And writing. She, mm-hmm. loves when I write. And so if I just take out a piece of paper, although she likes me to have a little more thought than just grabbing, you know, a junky piece of paper, but a nice piece of paper and write some thoughts about her and our life together, that will mean a ton. So guys, those are awesome tips right there. Mm-hmm. Just, I think almost any gal, you would melt their heart if you took out a piece of paper and a pen and wrote down something meaningful.
Yeah, a handwritten letter goes a long way in the digital age of today, because it's so easy to shoot an email and say, hey, I had a great time with you the other night. Now, I'm speaking from like early dating area, mm-hmm. here. So if you're a guy that's maybe just started dating in January and Valentine's is that awkward holiday that's coming up, it's like, how far do I go here? Because that was me. January 15th was our first date. So I made sure we had a DTR a week ahead of Valentine's Day. So when I did show up with flowers, it wasn't totally out of left field.
Mm-hmm. Such a planner.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, that's good. I was joking around with Martha. She doesn't want me to say this, but a lot of people break up right before Valentine's Day.
That is true.
Just to avoid, because of the DTR. All of a sudden, Valentine's Day puts pressure. Like you were saying, what do we do? Mm. Is this going to be too far if I take her out to this restaurant? Do I get her this the Snoopy card and look like a childish kind of guy? Or do I go for the nice romantic card?
Yes. Well, it's true. The highest incidence of breakups happen after Christmas and before Valentine's Day, because everyone wants to get through Christmas and not cause waves and be all weird, so they just eke that out. But then it's like, no, I'm not going towards Valentine's Day, so they break up in January.
And I would say, if you're looking at the spectrum of how far to go with gifts, it really comes down to the guy. If she likes you, she's going to give you a lot more leeway in getting something super cheesy and overblown than if she didn't like you in the first place. Mm-hmm. She's going to totally give you a pass. That'll become one of the cute stories you'll be able to share later when you're serious. Mm-hmm. But if she doesn't like you, no amount of grandiose action will make up for that.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to try to speak for all women here in saying that no woman wants to receive a plush stuffed devil with a heart, like a satin heart pinned to it that you get at Walgreens. Yeah. Why do people? I seriously saw someone buying three of those the other day.
No.
Who are they giving them to? Because no one wants that. It's like buying the thing at the carnival, the stuffed animal that you get, and they're totally cheap and lame. And no one wants that. It's not okay.
What about an appliance? Do women want like a vacuum,
save that for the wedding.
Blender?
What about, what about abs of steel? Any woman wants to receive that for sure.
We're going to be doing a segment at church, another guy and I this week, called The Top 10 Things to Not Do for Valentine's Day.
My brother-in-law one time signed my sister up as some kind of vitamin distributor for Valentine's Day as his gift. And he's like, oh, it's so great because you can make extra money. And she's like, what? It didn't go over well. Yeah, it wasn't the best.
I think Travis struck a chord there with make it personal with a note or something. Share your inner thoughts, because as guys, we're always told, we need to open up more, need to share more. And I think that's more a stereotype. I think there are a lot of guys that are good at that, more so than what culture would have you believe. But I think even trying something that's out of your element, like cook for her. If you're not a good cook, cook for her. And maybe while you're cooking it, set her down with a chick flick to watch. Hmm. Set her down with a movie that she likes to see. Say, hey, just relax. Mm-hmm. And just have her sit there and watch that. I'm gonna cook, and you'll smell the great aroma coming from the kitchen while you relax, and then I'll call you when it's ready.
Or let her talk your ear off.
Yeah. See, if I did that, I'd start cooking, and then I'd sit her down with a bag of Chick-fil-A, just in case everything.
I've got a backup plan.
Yeah, exactly.
For plan B here.
Or maybe a party tray from Costco, if you've already made the trip there.
Yeah, we're going to go and do pizza for $3 in Costco.
The CC's.
Now, what do you think, as guys, what do you think about, like, single guys? Is this not a good time to ask someone out? Do you need to wait for Valentine's Day to pass and do it in a more neutral territory?
Wow.
Because sometimes there are, like, special events planned and someone wants to go to something with someone, but is that just too much? Are women going to be... I don't know, Martha, would that freak you out if some guy asked you out for Valentine's Day?
Well, I think maybe girls secretly kind of hope that might happen.
Oh. Yeah,
actually, you know?
I would say don't avoid it, but also don't jump into it because it's a holiday. Mm-hmm. If you're not intentional about taking this girl out after February 14th, then you shouldn't be in there before February 14th.
If you just need someone as a date, don't use them.
Yeah, so don't do that to her, because I do think there is something that she would want. And if you want to be intentional about it, then sure, go through with it, embrace it, make it fun, lighthearted, be all about that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's a guy's ideal Valentine's Day, other than forgetting it altogether? Forbid.
So this is where, as a married guy, I would say, sweetheart, you don't have to do a whole lot for me. Just knowing that I knocked it out of the park makes me... happy, because when you're married, all I'm looking at is the checkbook, and I'll go, sweetheart, why'd you spend this on me for this little plush devil?
Just give me three of those.
My wife would never do that. But I mean, for me, just being able to spend that intentional time with my wife, I think, is awesome. So having that little moment of carved space, which I think every married couple needs to do, is to be intentional, which is why Focused on the Family is doing the date night challenge with family ministry, to try and help couples be intentional. And so I think that that's a cool thing, to just carve aside just a little bit of space. For me, it'd just be going to a coffee shop, grabbing something that I shouldn't eat and eating it and drinking coffee and looking into my wife's eyes and just hearing how her life is going.
Okay, so this brings up a question, too, and you guys are going to have to address this. So when we first started talking about the date night challenge, because Greg Smalley is our boss, he's in charge of the marriage area, he was telling us how some couples don't even go on a date, like, in a year. Mm-hmm. So first of all, that's one thing. Then he said they have to give them ideas of what to do and what to talk about, like suggested questions, so that these people don't talk about finances or their kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like... What happens when you get married that all of a sudden you no longer can like have a normal conversation with anyone? I mean, it just amazes me that, not that I don't think situations come up and there are real things to be discussed, but I mean, Nathan, do you have this fear that like all the romance is going to die once you have to start just figuring out the checkbook all the time?
Or? Well, we're kind of in this already as an engaged couple because we're trying to plan the wedding. So every time we get together, it's,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I've got the Excel spreadsheet with a list of who's coming and who's not. And everything we do, every dollar we spend could go toward that wedding. And so we're kind of in this mode of scrimp and save and put everything we can toward the wedding now. And then so dates suffer. And I know you can go out and do a fun date, but and we do. We go out and hike and stuff. But I can definitely feel it straining us because do we get that coffee or do we put that $7 toward our DJ?
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
There definitely is a shift whenever you move even into the engaged phase. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like, okay, we got this far. Now it's shifting into our what's our life going to look like together? And then once you're married, then it's what does our life look like now? What are we saving for now? What are we looking forward to? Yeah. So, and I think that's the guy's responsibility to step up and be like, we need to clear this out of the way and reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And Valentine's Day could do that. Any other day could do that as well. But I think he should definitely take that initiative, see that for what it is and say, hey, look, I know we're not connecting. And that is something that I'm going to address.
Yeah. If you do that as a guy, your wife will totally love you. I mean, it's true because yeah. I think a gal is taking a guy's lead in just the mundane aspects of life and even something mm-hmm. as little as Valentine's Day. That's why I don't really expect much from her. But if I lead and we're having a great moment of connection, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a quick story. I think she'd be okay with me sharing this. The other night, we were talking about just kind of the busyness of the holidays and looking forward to the wedding. And she said, I feel like our time together doesn't sustain me as long as it used to when we were apart. And we're an hour away from each other. And at first I thought, oh, that really concerns me. But then I thought, what better way to acknowledge the fact that we should be together in marriage. You know, this is a good thing that we're heading toward. But it also was kind of a call for me to say, okay, is our time together, since it's not as sustaining, mm-hmm. is it because I'm lacking something? Is it because I'm not bringing this intimacy that we had together when we did hang out? Because being an hour apart from each other, those moments matter, especially at that distance, and even more so for longer distance.
Yeah. Huh. What do you guys think about moving in, like when you talk about it? Now, I know most people like try not to talk about Valentine's Day too much, or it is one of those things, like if you talk about it, it's like, that is so lame, or most couples will figure out what they're going to do, but it's not like you broadcast it all around the office unless you're doing something amazing and want to brag about it. But do you ever come up against, like, because with singles, it's kind of like, you know, people will ask us just flat out, are you doing anything for Valentine's Day? And it's like, oh my goodness, like, what do I have to say? Or, you know, and just kind of that awkwardness of like, if someone's dating or if they're not dating, and how do you be sensitive to that? And how do you be sensitive to the people who have like recently gone through divorces, or just people who are in a bad spot, or maybe their husband's not doing anything for them? I mean, any suggestions or tips?
You know, in other office environments, not so much here, but it could still work. I think it's awesome as a guy, if you're a good guy, or even as a gal, to help make Valentine's Day kind of fun, because it can like put this big spotlight on a single and make you feel, you know, a lot of different things. And so it doesn't cost a whole lot to go get some candy bars and just bring them to the office and just give everybody a little bit of Valentine. I mean, it's silly and it sounds like first grade, but once you get out into the work world, those little things can help, I believe, people feel good mm-hmm. and to feel valued and loved, even if they're not in an exclusive relationship. So that would be my advice to some guys out there.
Yeah. And it does make it fun. I mean, because it was back in school, you did give a Valentine to every person, and it wasn't so much about couples or whatever. Yeah. And so that makes it kind of fun. I would definitely say to married couples, if you do not talk to your single friends the rest of the year, do not call them up before Valentine's Day and ask them to babysit your kids. Like, that is the only time you can interact with them, is when you need them to come and watch your kids, because, oh yeah, you obviously don't have anything going on evening.
It's such an insult to the free time of singles.
Yeah. Well, since I don't have much going on, I'm just going to invite all singles to my wife's date night. I'm sure that she'll appreciate that. Hey, well, sweetheart, we're having a group party tonight.
Provided we all write something nice about her in a card. We'll all collectively encourage her. So
well, that's a good point, though, Lisa, because it seems like when you're in your single life, people just assume you have all this free time and you're not doing anything. You're just sitting by the phone. Of course, nobody sits by the phone because it's not tethered to the wall anymore. Yeah. But it's always with us. So whenever they ask you, because that happened to me a lot when I was single, it was like, hey, can you do this for us? Because we're going out tonight. Yeah. When the kiddos started coming with my friends, yeah. And I don't mind so much. But Valentine's, it's more.
Valentine's Day definitely has more of a burn to it, I think, for especially single women.
But if you are single and really are just going, you know what, I want to help a couple out.
Please watch Travis's kids so that he and his wife can go to Costco.
Don't make me ask you.
Because it's difficult to tote those kids around in Costco. They could get lost.
Exactly. And then just the added cost of more pizza for the kids, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, too, that some of my most memorable Valentine's days have been siblings or friends, you know, sending me a card. Or last year, my sister came over with my nephews, and they brought me this bouquet of red tulips at work. And, I mean, just sweet that I would even be on her mind, mm-hmm. you know, when she's got her own family and husband to think about. So to think of others beyond your significant other. That's cool.
Yeah, it's so true. And I've talked about before on the show how I do that for my mom and my sister and I are like the singles in the family. So I always send them a little care package of Valentine's, you know, stuff or a little care package of stuff I've put together for them. So that's always fun and makes them feel remembered and appreciated.
What about homemade? Do gals like homemade, or does that come across as cheap? So I think as a guy, you're always worried about looking cheap, even if you do something creative.
No, homemade is great.
Is it going to be cheap? If a guy made something out of construction paper and put hearts and stuff all over it and gave it to you, would you think cheap, or would you rather have the $4 card from Hallmark? This is why people listen to Boundless. They want to know this information.
I think it's cute if it's not just lame and weird. I mean, you know, because you're going to either go... You can go through for a regular card and it's like classy, but I would definitely take homemade over a card that you know he stopped at Walmart and just signed his name in. That is not okay. I don't want some card with a name.
I know his name.
I don't need to know it again.
Guys, you can't see facial expressions through the podcast, but the girls, when I asked that question, I got a lot of mixed reactions. I mean, the wheels are churning.
I think Martha was going to disagree with me.
Well, my first thought was, like, I like to make cards, so I would say, let me do that.
Oh, yeah. And no guy's going to go up to her standard of cards, trust me. So that's where he needs to not even try.
But it is a thought. I mean, if he has a better message written in the homemade one versus his name signed in the Hallmark one.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
I don't know. It's hard to...
Similarly, I don't want some guy making me a quilt. I mean, I don't want him to go too overboard either. You know, let's not... Let's not cross.
What about if he orders a pizza and spells "I love you" with pepperoni? No. Okay.
I made the pizza.
I did do the card that I made once, but to be fair, it wasn't out of construction paper or scrapbooking materials. It was on the computer. I made it totally digital and printed out on photo paper. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit different because my handcraft skills from Hobby Lobby are very bad, like fifth grade diorama bad. So, and I make fun of that because I did try to do that for our engagement. I tried to make her something literally that I crafted myself, and it was awful. It just looked terrible, and I almost didn't even give it to her because I thought it looked bad. But then I thought, well, she'll think it's cute and sweet because I put time into
it.
And I did. I put way too much time than I care to admit. But it was so horrible that I love to make fun of it. So that way, I kind of freed her up to be able to make fun of it too. Mm-hmm. And because if she was like, yeah, you're right, it is really ugly, then I can say, I know, I said it first.
If you can admit that it's bad, then it's okay.
What about an e-card?
No. No e-cards.
What, with the dancing little bear that says I love you? Uh-uh. Okay, uh-uh. Don't do that, guys.
Anything you can automate is a bad idea.
No e-cards, no Happy Valentine's Day Facebook posts. That's not okay. You can't.
Even if you can make the heart?
I know, you'd have to do like 20 of them. So.
Now what about the $70, though? I mean, that seems kind of high to me. Is that like... A dinner for two, $30 plate plus tip.
I mean, that's dinner and a movie. I mean, if you go to a decent restaurant and a movie, but I would stay away from movies, maybe.
Well, and that's where you need to like find out what your date likes.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not always about dinner and a movie for people. And
I
everyone
can buy a lot
of
pizza at Costco for $70.
Right. And some people who don't like, some people get stressed out about when restaurants are crowded. I don't think I'd want to go to a super crowded restaurant. That's just like lame. Yeah.
And if you're a couple that likes movies, do movie and a dinner, because then you can talk about the movie over dinner and analyze it and discuss it. So.
And if you're cheap, go to the matinee and then go to dinner. So that way you can watch the movie and discuss over dinner. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're movie people, like Lisa says, you gotta do with...
Or just ask someone at work to borrow a movie.
Exactly.
Travis, that's what you could do.
If you need cheap tips, check out...
someone out there has a copy of Spaceballs, I'm sure, that you could borrow. Yeah. All right. Well, good thoughts, everyone. Good conversation. So hopefully you all out there will have a fabulous Valentine's Day, whether or not you are dating, engaged, married, or single. So make sure you write to us, comment on the blog, and let us know how you're planning to spend Valentine's Day and how you feel about the comments that were shared here. Thanks a lot, everyone.